Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of the youth this hour to explore the Unconquered Scholars Program, a program at Florida State University. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Lisa Jackson. Lisa is the Assistant Director of the Unconquered Scholars Program.
Hi, Liz. Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you. Also, we have Brittany Gardner. She hails really from Tampa. She's a graduate of Florida State 2016. Her area was business marketing, and she's now employed at the Department of Children and Family.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for having us.
Always glad to have you back. How about that? Margaret Swift hails from Orlando. She's a senior, and her thing is social work.
Thank you.
Jeremy Williams hails from Clearwater. His thing is English. He's a sophomore, and he likes books and music.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm like, super excited.
And I'm really glad to have you. Annabelle Sanchez-Santaforte is from Miami, and she's a junior, and her thing is business.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to 411 Team. Florida State University's innovative Unconquered Scholars Program provides support services to students who have faced profound hardships during childhood. These hardships may increase their risk of leaving academia without a degree. The Unconquered Scholars Program provides guidance, advocacy, mentorship, security, and a voice to Florida State University students who have unique needs. Lisa, I'll start with you. Would you share the history and how this program evolved?
Sure. So back in 2012, there was a collaborative effort between faculty, staff, administrators, and students to identify the unique needs of the student population and design a program based on research of other programs across the nation to address those needs and really to give the students who would be involved in the program a voice in its design. So students who would qualify, and one of the four qualifiers is homelessness, being a ward of the state, being in kinship care, so being raised by someone other than mom and dad, or experiencing foster care, would have a say in how the program was designed, how it would operate. In fact, the students even wrote our mission statement. And they continue to drive the program through a student advisory board. So they let us know what they need, and we as a group try and figure out how to fulfill those needs and give them the best chance of success.
How were these students identified? How did you go about selecting them?
So in the initial cohort, in that 2012 cohort, we worked closely with financial aid, and we have a tremendous amount of support on campus across departments. And we asked them to let us know which students identified in their FAFSA, which is a federal application for financial aid, who identified themselves as a former foster youth or someone who had experienced homelessness. And then we reached out to those students to let them know what we were doing and that we were designing a program, and we invited them to participate. And we did it. In fact, Brittany was one of the founding members of the program. So she was there for all of that history. And she actually served as one of the president of our advisory board for a period of time.
Well, yes. Brittany also has a really unique history. Would you share that with us? Because I think it's just really fantastic.
Absolutely. I came into the CARE program in 2012, and that's the parent program of Unconquered Scholars Program. And I remember
Excuse me. Tell what CARE stands for. What is the Center for
Academic Retention and Enhancement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I came in about 2012, and the program, the idea of the program was presented to us, and we were told if we had an interest, you know, to come to a meeting, and I did, and they began to explain what division would be and what they were looking to accomplish. So, of course, I wanted to be a part of it because mm-hmm. I felt like I qualified since I was living with a relative after my mother passed away. So just the program made a tremendous impact on my life and other students. So it was a tremendous blessing to me. So,
well, and also, Cher, you have some other special kudos. Come on, come on. I'm not going to let you, you know, because you were here last year and you graduated in 2016. And what are you doing now and how did you get there?
So I currently work for the Department of Children and Families. I'm a state agency here at headquarters in Tallahassee, Florida. I currently hold the position of as a civil rights officer, and basically my job entails we investigate cases of discrimination. So I'm getting exposure to employment law, administrative law, civil rights law. It's pretty unique how I got to this point. I was speaking at one of our banquets as our president, and DCF secretary was there, and he was just so amazed. And I started as an intern, and then I graduated, and then I had an opportunity to apply for a position. So it just unfolded in that way, and then now I'm here as a civil rights officer. So just to see everything just fall into place has been tremendous. Exactly.
That is just fantastic.
Thank you,
so much. We applaud you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd like to have the rest of you share your story so the listening audience will know what we're talking about. As I was sharing with you, one of the reasons that I want to make sure we do this program on an annual basis is because I think people don't know. Yeah. They don't know what's going on. Yeah. They don't know what dynamic young folks you all are. And, you know, that you're there. There may be businesses that want to contribute. I mean, you were saying from the last year's program that some business heard and made a donation, and they were very involved. So that's why I'm asking you to take this time and to share, you know, how you got here, what's happening with you. And I'll start with you. All right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I was introduced to Unconquered initially before CARE. And it was my sophomore year, and I was having a hard time with family issues. And I went to a social worker on campus, and they spoke to me and told me to go to the undergraduate, the dean of undergraduate studies. And that's when she introduced me or told me about Lisa Jackson. And I didn't know what it was. At first, I actually thought it was a counselor, like a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I initially walked in thinking it was going to be a therapy session. And it kind of was. But
I'm starting to say now, wasn't it? Knowing Lisa.
But it just opened my eyes to something even greater, because Unconquered to me has given me a relatability. Usually mm-hmm. when I tell people I was in foster care or homeless or whatever it may be, it's a million and one questions of the structure rather than, what happened to you? And it's so incredible. We all have such different stories, formal, informal, whatever it may be, but there's a foundational similarity.
And
it gives me comfort, and it also gives me a sort of resilience and wanting to work harder, because everybody in Unconquered works so hard to get there and works hard now and even afterward with Brittany. So.
And I think just the fact that you have folks that believe in you, mm-hmm. you know, that support you, because often, you know, regardless of what perils you've been through, you don't have that support. Mm-hmm. You don't have those saying, you can do anything you want to mm-hmm. do. Yeah. You know, you might have just the opposite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think that's what's so dynamic mm-hmm. about the program. Mr. Margaret.
Glad to have you back. Okay. And what are you? Are a, let's see, a senior, so I guess I won't see you anymore, huh? This is your last time.
Share
your story.
Okay, so I try to give like a little timeline of things I've experienced to get to where I am today. At the age of 8, I lost my mother, and then from there I went from one relative. I've experienced child abuse, sexual abuse, physical, mentally abused, like at a young age. And after staying with one relative, it went on to another relative. And then I was basically homeless because I was living up under people's roofs, but it got to a point where it was like, okay, you don't have your own place, you know? And so from
that
then
had
on,
to be a drag. Oh. I mean, just not having your own place, not feeling like you really were connected.
Right, okay. Right. It was. I went through it.
How'd you do it?
So after staying at one relative place, I stayed in a closet. So in this closet was where I prayed, where I talked to God, where I sung, where I worshiped. That was my time to have with God. And so whenever I went through anything, I would, in that closet was where I felt at peace. Mm-hmm. Like that was, and I wrote.
That was your
like,
little
I,
safe space.
Yes, it was my safe space. And then I wrote every single day. Like I keep a journal like all the time. So that was how I was able to get through everything. And I ended up meeting a friend in middle school. And I became very close with her and started telling her everything that I was going through. It took a long time to open up to her. But as soon as I did, like, it opened the door for me to become who I am now, because her mom ended up adopting me. So we went through the whole process of the adoption. And once she adopted me was when I started to, they started, as a family, they started to tell me, you know, how beautiful I was and how amazing I was, not knowing that I did not believe that. And it took me a long time to come to terms that I can do whatever it is that I want to achieve. And so after I got adopted, went to school, and they told me about the care program, signed up for it, was so scared because I was like, I don't feel like I'm going to get in. And it just so happened, like I ended up getting into the program. And then within that program, which was the care program, the e-board came and spoke to us during one of the meetings and told us about the program.
About Unconquered Scholars.
About Unconquered, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I got in contact with them, did the application, and then here I am.
And we are about to graduate.
And we're much better for having you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get with you in a second, Jeremy, but you're tuned in to 411 Teen. I am talking with some dynamic folks from the Unconquered Scholars Program. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour I am talking with students and the program director of the Unconquered Scholars Program. Joining me is Jeremy Williams. He is very eager to share his story. He's from Clearwater, and he's a sophomore at Florida State, majoring in English, particularly looking at editing and writing. Books and music are his thing. Jeremy, share with us your story.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, I've been really anxious to be able to tell this. So I had a really rough start when I was born. A lot of issues with my birth mother and my family. I have two older brothers that were all different fathers. And so we kind of, like, didn't really get to connect very well. And as much as I can remember, I was immediately taken in by my grandmother with me and my two older brothers. And there's a whole issue with my oldest brother having problems with their birth mother and kept getting in trouble, kept ending up in jail, kept going to juvie, all of those things. And it was a hard thing because I'm a loving and passionate person, and all I did was love my brothers, and I didn't want them to be in trouble. So that was very traumatic for me, going through those issues with my brother and not knowing why he's doing what he's doing. And as the years went by, my grandmother passed away when I turned 14, and my aunt and uncle stepped in and took me and my second oldest brother. At the time, my oldest brother had already moved out and he ended up in jail for a good amount of time. It would be the last, little did I know at the time, that would be like the last time I would see of him for like 3 years. Me and my second oldest brother, we stayed with our aunt and uncle for all the way up until this point. Like, my aunt dropped me off here today. So I love her. She's amazing. And one thing that they instilled in us, my aunt and uncle did, was that to keep fighting for what we believe in, that no matter where we came from or what happened to us when we were growing up, that God has a plan, God has a will, and God has a way. And he will get us there no matter what. As long as we believe in him and trust in him, there will be a light at the end of our tunnel. And that's what I believed in. And for so many years, so many people would tell me that I wasn't going to do anything with my life, that I was a nobody, or I would tell them, like, I'm going to go to FSU. And they're just like, no, you're not. And I'm just like, you'll see.
And now what do they say?
They haven't seen me yet. And so there was an issue with me getting into FSU when I applied. I was valedictorian. I had all straight A's, never missed a day of school. Wow. And I got rejected from FSU because of my fact of not high enough SAT score. And that was mainly because of my math, which is why I choose English, because I like writing. It's easy for me. Well, even though I had been rejected, Miss Jackson still called me and told me about Unconquered and said, like, oh, you're interested to join and everything. And I was like, man, I'm interested in this. And I told him, like, I don't think I'm getting in. She's like, I think you will. I think you're going to get here. And I'm like, okay. About a week or so later, I ended up talking to the director of CARE, and not knowing it was him, and I told him about myself and, you know, just really tried to, like, push myself out there. And he told me that they weren't really going to, like, pull anybody onto the program at all. And then the very next day, he calls me and tells me that there's a spot open in CARE. And the first day of being there, I go into Mrs. Jackson. I don't even know how she even knew who I was. She instantly knew me when I walked up to her. And it's been smooth sailing ever since. And I feel like a family. I feel like I'm welcomed and I'm loved. And there's so much support here. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Well, I know when you were talking, I wrote down by your name, standardized testing. Because I often do a program on standardized testing. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to have you come back and talk about it. Because, you know, that's a very controversial issue, just about how weighted these standardized tests are. Mm-hmm. So you can do super well in school, just like you did, and then have to take the test and maybe blow it. Yeah. And there's so many variables that influence how well you do. And then for your whole admission, your whole future to be dependent on one test is ridiculous.
That's right.
So I will be calling you back.
Okay. I'll be waiting.
Okay. All right. Was religion important to you all? I know it was to the two of you, but I just wanted to know, when you look at the support and coping mechanisms that you use and just the different travails that you had to experience, what were some of the things that you found helped you to cope with your situation, helped you to say, to have that inner strength to say, I can do it, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And nobody is going to stop me, because that's all really what you needed. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you needed to be validated.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it sounds like none of you have been validated in your lives. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what was missing. And I'd like mm-hmm. to have you, you know, expound on that. Whomever may start. I'm looking at you. You're in the hot seat. So, Brittany, it's on you.
I would definitely say my faith mm-hmm. played a huge impact in where I am today. That was my foundation growing up. My mother always instilled in my sisters and I to have a relationship with God and believe in Him. Mm-hmm. So when she passed away, that really put my faith to the test, right? Mm-hmm. If you've never been through anything, you don't know what it means mm-hmm. to really fight through something if you've never experienced mm-hmm. anything. So once you experience something in your life that really puts you to the test, you know, you'll see where your faith lies. You know, mm-hmm. your faith has to be proven. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say when I was in those dark hours or I cried myself to sleep, mm-hmm. that prayer and singing hymns and, you know, praising God, just like Margaret mm-hmm. said earlier, in her safe place, mm-hmm. a quiet place, you know, mm-hmm. asking God, help me to get through this because I don't think I'm going to make it. Mm-hmm. But when you encourage yourself and you look at those people who are telling you won't make it or your circumstances, because I don't look like what I've been through. Mm-hmm. And when you mm-hmm. can tell yourself, I will make it, it don't matter the circumstances or who's mm-hmm. trying to put roadblocks in my way, I will make it. And I believe that God has a greater purpose for my life. So that definitely helped me get through a lot of trying times.
Okay. Annabelle.
Yes. In the beginning, I was not introduced. I did not have a religious foundation at all. It wasn't until after I was adopted, which was after maybe 13. But before that, what really got me through foster care was actually my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Was that
That's
straight
good to hear.
Student. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was always just good at sports, good at school. Yeah, it wasn't a great living situation, but my teachers always nurtured me. Not saying that they were the reason for me getting taken away, but they protected me when I came to school with bruises.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about, like, an accident. Mm-hmm. I'm talking mm-hmm. about extensive abuse. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't understand. I think it took me a lot to mm-hmm. realize that they were actually doing good by me, mm-hmm. and they would just nurture me, tell me that I was doing great, that I was different. And then obviously when I got, and I would honestly question myself, like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this, why am I alone? And it wasn't until I got introduced to religion that mm-hmm. I started to accept things, and it really made me at peace with certain mm-hmm. things. And it gave me the strength, like Brittany said, I went through this, so mm-hmm. whatever may come my way mm-hmm. is not going to be harder than that. And essentially, when I got into FSU, I was put in a situation where I didn't know I was going to be able to go, just because my adoptive family, I didn't meet the deadline. I got adopted right before 13, so you can't get certain financial aid, and then they make a lot of money.
Yeah,
they make a lot of money. I got kicked out for reasonings beyond my control, mm-hmm. and I thought financially I wasn't going to be able to go, and I literally, like, $50 in my pocket just came to FSU. I worked full-time for the first 2 years, and then Miss Lisa Jackson helped me financially. But it was teachers and counselors who gave me that foundation, but it was religion to give me the strength to persevere, basically.
Okay. Wow. What would you say to others, students, who have similar, who are in similar situations that you all have experienced, who are feeling like, you know, they really would like to get out of that situation, but have been so downtrodden and so abused and disrespected. And, you know, their self-concept is, you know, not at all poor, extremely poor. What would you say, what kinds of things would you offer and say to students who may be walking in your shoes?
I know for me, lately I've been saying this, like, you have to fight. You have to fight, fight.
Where does that come from? Where, I mean, how do you get that fight?
Well, for me, it was reading the word. It was praying. It was having that spiritual relationship with God mm-hmm. that created okay. that fight for me to keep fighting. Because, like, I get it. Like, I have my moments. At that time, at that place that I was in, I was miserable. Like, I was like, God, I'm coming to you every time something happened. And each time, it's like something keep knocking me right back down, right back mm-hmm. down. But I just kept saying, God, I trust you. God, I just kept saying, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. And I just say, it's hard. It's going to be hard. You know, but you're going to get through it. Mm-hmm. No matter what, you're going to get through it. And I know if somebody probably told me that at that moment, I probably would have not believed them.
And that's what I'm saying. So what can you tell them? Because you've been there.
I've been there. So I've been there. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to be useless, helpless, emotionally frustrated. I know, but we serve a God who will help us at the end. Mm-hmm. So
you got
to keep fighting.
Faith.
Yeah, keep fighting. Keep have the faith, and it's a lot. It's a mm-hmm. process to get through because it's hard. Like, it's easy to tell someone, yeah, you just have to get out this environment.
Yeah, that's
but
what I mean.
It's hard when you're in that environment. That's mm-hmm. all you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to get out of. Yes. Where
lots of times you think that environment is the norm.
Right. Right.
You think
right,
that
right.
what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Everybody experiences,
right, right. Yeah, absolutely,
you know?
Right.
And what we've found is when we do have youth who have or are still in the foster care system or experiencing homelessness that come up to visit campus to have an experience where they can meet a student who's already at a university, who's being successful mm-hmm. at a university, it helps them really in a concrete way, realize that it is possible for mm-hmm, them. Mm-hmm. It's a way for us as a group to instill hope in them mm-hmm. while they're still in that position. Mm-hmm. And we've had students now that, in fact, when Brittany was doing an event years ago, we have students who are at that event that have come to FSU because they met with Unconquered Scholars mm-hmm. and realized, you know
rewarding.
What, I can make it now too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with the program too, they were able to reach us without marginalizing us.
Right.
You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Because
yeah. mm-hmm. I think a lot of times students are leery of being labeled.
Right.
That's but when you clear. Realize that there are other students who have similar stories yes. as mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. you begin to take pride in where you've come yeah. from mm-hmm. and then where you're going. So I think that's one of the most profound blessings of it, because when other people are sharing their testimonies, as Ms. Jackson just said, you begin to realize I can make it.
Absolutely.
Right? I can make it through this. All I just got to do is figure out why have I held on for this long.
Right.
And when you find that from within, then you begin to realize that your life has a higher calling, mm-hmm. and your story will touch somebody else, mm-hmm. and it will encourage somebody else and inspire mm-hmm. someone else as well.
Well, one of the key perspectives of this program that we talk about in a lot of different shapes and mm-hmm. forms is how these students are uniquely qualified mm-hmm. to be at FSU mm-hmm. because of what they've been through, mm-hmm. because of how strong they are, how resilient they are, mm-hmm. the grit that they have. A little bump in the road at FSU in a chem class, that's nothing.
That's yeah. nothing.
Right? Oh, yeah. We got that, Ms. Lisa. You know?
Yeah.
So they are remarkably qualified to be here. And in fact, and I love this, I'm a data girl, the students in the program are outperforming the general population of
yes.
the student body at FSU. Right?
Yes.
They have a higher GPA.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 3.02 okay. cumulative GPA.
Oh, it's up to 2.
Yeah, it's
two
up
now.
A little bit. It
Uh-oh.
Is, yes.
I was dated. I was going to say 0-1, but all right. Go with your bad
And we have a 90% graduation rate and a 94% retention rate. So, you know, it's true. Like, mm-hmm. they are an inspiration.
Wow. Jeremy, did you have something you wanted to share?
I do. as one thing that you were asking about was what would we want to say share. To some mm-hmm. of these people? Mm-hmm. As Margaret has said, and as Ms. Jackson and Brittany and Annabelle have said, one of the things that I've always held on to, not to take away from any of theirs, because mm-hmm. theirs is very important, is the dream. Because mm-hmm. those dreams that you have are a blessing, and nobody can take those away from you. The ones that you, whenever you close your eyes or whenever you're in class and you're staring off out the window when you should be paying attention, we've all done it.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Those dreams are the ones that can, if you go after them, mm-hmm. can change everything. Mm-hmm. Because one day, middle school, I guess, I don't even know, my parents told me that when I first went to FSU's campus, I told them that I was going to go to FSU. And they're like, no, that's just a dream, you know? But it's like, well, where did that dream happen? Mm-hmm. I'm here. Mm-hmm. So those dreams, if you fight for them and you work for them and you want them to become reality and you ask God for help and ask Him for strength and you let Him know what it is you want, you'll get there. Mm-hmm. I promise you. And that's what I really wanted to say.
Okay. All right. I'm going to come to you after we take a break, okay? But, Lisa, will you share in this last minute before we take a break just how many folks are in the program now? Give us some stats.
Sure. Well, we're just getting our new freshman group mm-hmm. in. So those numbers are kind of, you know, coming together. But mm-hmm. I think we have just over 100. And the new group, the freshman group, should be somewhere between 25 and 35 maybe. Mm-hmm. So there'll be probably about 120 students or so in the overall program, freshmen to seniors. We also have some students on campus that are grad students.
All right. All right. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am so glad to have the students and the program director of Unconquered Scholars. Unconquered Scholars was established in 2012, right? And it's housed in the Center for Academic Retention and Enhancement at Florida State University. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I'm talking with members of the community of the Unconquered Scholars Program here at Florida State University. I want to talk with Annabelle, make sure I got your name right this time, okay? Annabelle, would you share your experiences? How you would encourage people who may be walking in the same shoes?
In regards to them
just
not
making
being,
it, just yeah. being able to handle the stresses, handle the forces that appear to be working against them, and how they can strive and survive.
Well, I've always come to learn that if there's a will, there's a way. And you might have to work harder, 5 times harder, 100 times harder than the next person. Mm-hmm. And you may ask yourself why, but with everything that I've accomplished, what I've noticed is I feel so privileged. It almost feels sweeter to me mm-hmm. because I know mm-hmm. how much harder it was. Not to discredit anybody else's mm-hmm. journey, but it's almost unique. You have a story. People are willing to listen, whether they know what you've been through or haven't. But my main thing is it might hurt way more fighting for something, but once you get there, it'll be that much better, mm-hmm. and it'll mean that much more. And when something else arises in life, you, in comparison to other things, it'll be minuscule. Whether it be a class or with me, I don't sweat breakups, dating. It's
nothing.
It's nothing. Yeah, it's almost a joke, and I understand why it hurts certain people, but to me, it's, you've been through so much worse.
Yeah, it's a hierarchy of
and you learn to value yourself at a certain point, and that's my main thing.
Margaret, I want you to share what you were saying when we were on break to Jeremy, because I thought it was really significant. Okay. You know, Jeremy was talking about his dream.
Right. So Jeremy was, the fact that he was able to dream at a young age, I applaud him for that, because me, I didn't have that ability to dream. Like, I didn't, because of so much stuff that I was going through, I never thought I could even be here. So to dream, that was the last thing on my mind. It was trying to get through the next day. Like, you got to
dreams,
worry about
what's
this
that?
Dream, right? So I wasn't able to dream until I got to college and then see other people say what they want to do. And it was like, all right, Margaret, like, I had to build confidence within myself. That's what it was, because mm-hmm. my confidence level was not there. Mm-hmm. Like, now, how it was back then is not how it is now. Like, right now, you can't tell me nothing.
I know, and that's all right, too. That's great.
So, yeah, I had to build confidence within myself. So, it took a long time.
Well, we are just talking, but Lisa, will you share with the listening audience, because I'm sure there may be individuals or businesses who hear this and think, wow, that's a dynamic program. I would like to be more involved. I'd like to donate. Share, because we'll talk, and I'll look up and you will not send me. Share with them how they contact you, what they need to do to make that first step.
Absolutely. So anyone who's interested in getting engaged with the program can email me. My email is lisa.a.jackson@fsu.edu. They can also check the FSU website and just, you know, type in Unconquered Scholars Program for more information in general about the program and some of our students' needs. Everything from general things like school supplies and toiletries and linens and comforters for, you know, when they first get to campus, to assistance with meal plans. Assistance paying for our health insurance, because many of our students have a difficult time finding mm-hmm. someone who will take their brand of Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And we're especially looking for partners in the community who can offer internship experiences that are specific to the areas of interest for our students. Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, students who want to be going to the medical field, and I would love to find folks in that field who would allow my student to shadow them, you know, or who are interested in marketing or, you know, whatever that field is. So, you know, just like when we bring foster youth to campus and mm-hmm. show them you can make it here, mm-hmm. you can get to FSU or another institution, I want to be able to show the students at FSU that they can get into their field, mm-hmm. okay. you know, what they're studying to do, and this is what it looks like, and this is how it feels. And it takes, you know, professionals to do that.
Okay. The Unconquered Scholars Program, through collaboration with various campus partners, offers an array of services. And I'd like to talk about the services that are available. So let's do this in the last few minutes, 10 minutes or so that we have. Now, I know you have one-on-one advising. What is that? What does that involve? That's the best. Under her breath, Margaret goes, that is the best. Margaret, tell us about it.
Okay, so I think it's the best because sometimes we always just want somebody to listen. To mm-hmm. listen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us don't have that. I know growing up I didn't have that. So, and like I remember a time, I share this time all the time, I was going through it during the semester. And I met up with Lisa, and like, a part of me felt like, oh my gosh, I'm really coming to this lady office crying my eyes out for what, like, it was just ridiculous, but she made me feel like it was okay. Like, mm-hmm. it was okay to go through it. And Oh, those are my favorite. It's time to, like, reflect and, like, I don't know, just get some stuff off your chest. To talk about anything. And sometimes you don't even say anything. You just start to realize, like, after you said what you've said, it's like you realize, oh, like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. But she's always encouraging, always trying to help us in some way and make us realize what it is that we're missing from whatever it is that we're going through. And so, yeah, I love one-on-ones.
All right. What else is there available? Any other comments on one-on-one? Now, is it just personal counseling? Does it? Are you provide other types of counseling, too? I mean, when one-on-one. I mean, like, maybe even academic. What about academic support? What
do you have so there? Within the Center for Academic Retention Enhancement Care, in that building, we have academic advisors, financial aid advisors, college life coaches. I meet with my sophomores every 2 weeks for college life coaching to just talk about, like Margaret said, whatever's going on in life, you know, whether it's academic or social or whatever's happening. So we have a lot of other support programs. We have lab space. We have two federal TRIO programs for college students, SSS STEM and SSS Scope, which provides additional tutoring and access to campus tutors and other supports so that they can go on to graduate programs. So we that's just in our building. You know, across the campus, there's, you know, just a plethora of supports out there for them. You know, we have a wellness center on campus, the University Counseling Center.
And they can access all of these.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. When you all came to the university and made that transition, what was the most difficult aspect of it?
Okay. Go with it. So, for me, the biggest aspect of transitioning from where I was from to here was I came from an area that was very small. My high school, we graduated about like 16 people. And the school was about 230 students, and it was K through 12. And so most of the people you met were probably the same people every single day. So coming to here and then there just being thousands upon thousands of people in one room. So that was the hardest thing for me. It was scary. It was different. And I didn't know what I was doing at all. So, but definitely talking with the people here, with everybody in Unconquered and everybody in the care and has been through it, and just being able to, like, work me through it, you know, it really helped out. And I was able to get over it within a year.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Jeremy actually touched a little bit on a sort of a universal theme for students is that even though they're surrounded by tens of thousands of students, they can feel alone. And that's a big part of one of the benefits of Unconquered is that they really do have a campus family, you know, that gets them and knows what it's like, and they support each other. They don't have to be in the masses feeling alone.
Do you all get together? I mean, do you have a formal gathering time, so to speak?
Our freshmen meet every couple of weeks to kind of help them with that transition you're referring to. And then we also have often monthly just social activities to get together. We also travel once a year together during on-campus Parents Weekend, which is a very hard time of year for our students.
I would think so.
Right? Yeah. And based on their feedback, we developed a system where we have our Unconquered campus family trip off of campus during Parents Weekend. So we get time to bond and have a wonderful time together. And Guy and Dolores Spearman, two absolutely lovely, delightful folks, have funded that for us. So last year, they sent us on the quintessential family trip, and we got to go to Disney together.
Wow, that's great.
Made some memories. So,
see you nodding your head. You have something you want to share with us.
Basically, to answer your question, and Ms. Jackson just talked about it, actually, when I started, I think what was difficult for me, not necessarily me thinking that I wouldn't make it through college, because as they mentioned, so many resources before, so I knew, Brittany, you might not fail. There's no reason. You have too many resources at your hand and people, you know, rooting you on so you can make it through, you know, college. But I think for me, when I arrived that first year, I didn't realize Parents Weekend was a big deal. You know, I heard people talking about it, but I remember being in my dorm and looking out, and you hear all of the music, and you see all of the students with their parents or their parents bringing groceries up, or you hear other students say, oh, my parents are taking me out to a restaurant to eat. And I just sat there, and I remember going in my dorm room, and I cried because I was just thinking, here it is. I don't have a mother to talk to. My relationship with my father isn't great, so he's not here to be a part of this moment. So I think for me, for a long time, it was like you say, you're surrounded by all of these people, but you still feel alone. So that was difficult, and I remember sort of sharing that with you know, Ms. Jackson and some of our other faculty that was there at the time, and just saying, hey, we definitely need to do something for students when Parents Weekend approaches, because it's a difficult time.
Yeah, Belle, any comments you want to share?
Exactly what she said, and they definitely delivered. It was the hardest thing. The whole population thing wasn't a thing for me. Financially, I could just work full-time. Like, I found a solution to everything. The only thing was, like she said, Parents Weekend. It just felt not even just lonely. It just felt like why me? Oh, why this? And some of the things, it wasn't only Parents Weekend. It had to do with anything doing with parents. It just multiplied it so much more that weekend. So move-in dates, that was intense. I'm kind of grateful that I did not live on campus. I always lived in an apartment or in a house, so I didn't really get to experience that. I only saw it a couple times. My biggest thing was I'm a server, so I see them out having dinner, laughing, the relationships, really seeing how a family interacts in that way. And that weekend was probably the hardest, especially serving. You're working most of the time, and you have to see that constantly. It's almost every table. And, yeah, it was definitely that. They delivered, and it was not only that. It was a family. It was sisters and brothers, and it was so comfortable. You could talk with everyone, and it just was so much fun.
Having been in the program, what have you learned about self? Oh, goodness, I must have got a good question. You know, you think about, you know, what you've been through, what you've experienced, you know, the support the program has provided. And when it comes back down to it, what have you found out? What have you learned most about self?
Self?
Mm-hmm.
I would say what I've most learned about self is that the only thing stopping you from doing anything is yourself.
Okay.
And there are so many opportunities that I could have taken, so many things that I could have done, so many things that could have been different had I not stopped myself. But when the day comes down, winds down, turns, goes to the end, and the next day is coming, you can't look back at what you missed. All you can do is look forward and try to do what's better the next day. So definitely, don't let yourself stop you. Okay. That's what I've learned.
Okay.
One of the things for me is to not to allow what society say to dictate who I am. Because there's a lot of statistics, so people can't, you know, people who's either been abused, they don't do this, they don't do that. And I had to learn that, being a social work major, they talk about that a lot. And I get frustrated at times because that's not me. Like, I've rise up above that. But I did learn not to let what society say allow me to dictate who I am. And I had to learn that with just anything, with GPA, grade-wise, I had to learn that. Because I would do that a lot. Right. And it took me a long time to realize that's not who I am, you know?
Yeah, statistics inform us, but they don't define us.
Right.
Yeah. They are
amazing. Exactly.
Yes.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Brittany and Annabelle.
I would say what I learned about myself is that, you know, you can't afford to sit down on your potential and your talents and your story. But I think that comes with time. You know, everybody's not ready to share what they've been through. But what I've realized being a part of this program and even having Ms. Jackson in my life, that we all have a gift. And you have to discover what your gift is and then use that gift to serve other people. Whatever that capacity may be in, you have to use it because it can definitely be a blessing to other people and help them out of their dark moments and their troubles.
I'm going to jump real quick because we're out of time. We've been talking so much, we're out of time. But share just real briefly, would you share?
Going off of what the two previous girls, Margaret and Brittany, were talking about, I've definitely, I hated being labeled. I hated the statistics. That's why I chose business. It's far from it, even though I love business. But I think what I've learned about myself is that as a person who is going through it, but obviously sees the light at the end of the tunnel, and I've accomplished so much, is that I actually want to help those other people, that those other people who don't, there are reasons they didn't make it.
Okay, I got to cut you off, but thank you. That's it for this edition of 411 Team. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.